Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. Last week on Hope for Today, we began studying Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Our study was titled, How to Inherit Eternal Life. During my teaching, I stated there are important requirements necessary to inherit eternal life. The first requirement we looked at was, know the law. If someone doesn't know God's law, then they have no objective standard to evaluate themselves or their choices. Knowing God's law reveals to us our sin. Now, as we continue our study, let me read the text, Luke chapter 10 and verses 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answering said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. This do, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of these three, do you think, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. Notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke the lawyer for his question. He knows who this man is and his knowledge of the law. You'll notice from the text that Jesus commended the lawyer for the answer he gave. You have answered correctly, as far as the words go. Do this, and you shall live. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? Do this, and you'll have the eternal life you're talking about. But if we're not careful, we can miss the impact of Jesus' answer. What Jesus was really saying to him was, Keep on doing this forever, and you shall live. In other words, the only way to inherit eternal life by keeping the law is to keep on keeping it perfectly. As A.T. Robertson states, there's only one problem with the lawyer's answer. No one ever did or ever can do perfectly what the law lays down toward God and man. To slip once is to fail. James 2:10 tells us that whoever keeps the whole law yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. There was only one man who ever kept the law perfectly. His name is Jesus. Now, before we go farther in the text, let's pause to reflect on the requirement of knowing the law. Why is it important to know the law? Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, without the law, there is no knowledge of sin. If there's no standard of right and wrong, you can never be wrong. So anything goes. No one can call you to account for your actions. In that environment, God is irrelevant. So the law introduces an objective standard for evaluating behavior, and that law comes from God Himself. It reflects His character, His holiness. As those created by God in His image, we are accountable to Him for what we do with His law. And then another reason for knowing the law is to understand the impossibility of keeping it. Read through the books of Exodus and Leviticus. See for yourself how impossible it was to keep all the requirements. The law set a standard impossible to keep solely by human willpower. That's why God provided animal sacrifices for atonement. But many people, like this lawyer, claim to have eternal life by their observance of the law. Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." It's obvious that the lawyer in our text knew the words of the written law. He could argue the smallest details, but his knowledge was all in his head, in his intellect. It had not obviously touched his heart, and that fact sets the stage for our next requirement. The next requirement to inherit eternal life is obey the law. Some of you are thinking right now, did I hear him correctly? Obey the law to inherit eternal life? And some of you may be reaching to turn off the radio. All I ask is, don't jump to conclusions before you hear me out. As Nicodemus asked, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? After you hear me out, you can send me your comments or questions, or you can contact me and ask for a transcript. In verse 29, it becomes clear that the lawyer understood exactly what Jesus meant. He realized he had asked a question that he already knew the answer to. In his embarrassment, he asks another question to show that he did have some point at first. Our text says he asked this second question in order to justify himself. That is, he was determined to prove to Jesus that he was indeed a righteous man. "Who is my neighbor?" is the question he asked. Scholars confirm that the Jews of that time split hairs over this question, and they excluded from their definition Gentiles and especially Samaritans. Now you know the reason for Jesus' choice of characters in this narrative. So here was the lawyer's loophole. A neighbor is one who lives nearby, but the Jews made racial exceptions, as many people still do today. So then, if this lawyer could pick and choose the definition of neighbor, he could still fulfill this requirement of the law. He could be pronounced righteous in the eyes of his peers. Jesus' response is interesting. He could have recited numerous portions of Scripture that would have been familiar to this lawyer, like Leviticus 19:33. "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them." Or Deuteronomy 10:18-19. "God executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving them food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." Or Exodus chapter 23 and verse 4, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him." But Jesus didn't quote those verses. Instead, he painted a word picture that led to an inescapable conclusion. I believe Jesus was answering two questions. In the process of answering the question, "Who is my neighbor?" he was also answering the question about how to inherit eternal life. While that suggestion may seem preposterous to you, again, I only ask that you hear me out. So Jesus tells of a certain man, most likely Jewish, traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. That steep, winding road was known to be hazardous, especially to those who traveled alone. So as he's walking along the way, this man is suddenly surrounded and attacked by thieves. They stripped off his clothing, beat him senseless, and left him lying alongside the road. Not content with whatever money he had on him, they also stole his clothing. Talk about adding insult to injury. So here this man lies by the side of the road, naked or nearly so, and perhaps unconscious. By coincidence, a certain priest was also coming down that same road. Since Jericho was known as a city of priests, it's likely this man was returning from his temple service in Jerusalem. By service, I mean his duties in the temple for a period of time with the other priests of his course. You can read an example of this in Luke chapter 1, where we read about Zacharias. As the priest travels along the road, he saw the wounded man lying there. What does he do? He immediately crosses over to the other side of the road. Why did he do that? Well, perhaps he was concerned about becoming ceremonially unclean. We can only speculate about what was going on in the mind of the priest. What we know for sure was the purpose of his office was to represent people to God. He was an intermediary, one who administered the holy things of God. He took the people's offerings and sacrifices and presented them to the Lord. Because he served in this capacity, he was to make sure that he himself was holy. So he most likely didn't want to take the chance of becoming defiled. But since he had just fulfilled his annual service, he would have had plenty of time for purification before he would have had to serve again. Well, anyway, after he's gone, here comes another man, a Levite. He too is most likely returning from Jerusalem. The Levites were the helpers of the priests. During this time period, they were temple officials, judges, gatekeepers, and musicians. They also served as teachers and administrators of the law. So they had to know what the law said and how to keep the law themselves so they could teach others. As he comes down the road, he sees the wounded man lying there. He stops, crosses the road, and looks down at the man. Then, like the priest, he crosses back to the other side of the road and continues on his journey. Now both of these men, in their own view and in the view of their peers, were righteous. Their lives revolved around keeping the law and teaching it to others. They knew what it said. But it also seems they chose which parts of the law they wanted to obey. Earlier, I referenced Exodus 23:4, Leviticus 19:33, and Deuteronomy 10:18 and 19 as just a few examples of a proper response to those in need. These religious men violated those commands by their lack of concern for their injured countrymen. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, How to Inherit Eternal Life. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, How to Inherit Eternal Life. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, How to Inherit Eternal Life. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, How to Inherit Eternal Life. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.